Daniel was when he wrote each chapter. He was 17 when he wrote Daniel chapter 1 and 92 when he wrote the last chapter. Interesting. It was a long time in the making, this book of Daniel, and he wrote down what God had him write. Imagine taking your lifetime, God starting you off at 17 and finishing you up at 92, but not giving you the whole thing to the very end. Isn't that something? But of course, it was written somewhere around the 6th century B.C., and of course, it deals with Daniel and his personal friends in chapters 1 through 6, and Daniel and his people's future in chapters 7 through 12. And we're going to pick up reading tonight in verses 1 through 7 of Daniel chapter 3, where the Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. The princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship, the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So as we look tonight, we're going to look at the book of Daniel. We're going to look in particular at this little passage right here. And I call to your attention the fact that he said that if you don't worship this idol when we play the contemporary Christian music, you'll be crucified out in the streets in a burning fiery furnace. We're going to kill you for not doing what we say. I think that's very interesting what he just says right there. That if you don't agree with me, I will kill you. Sounds a lot like John Calvin, doesn't it? You know he had a man put to death because he wouldn't agree with him on what he did? Ain't that something? I hear a lot of these guys say a lot of stupid things, and they usually come from Mama Catholic Church, because Calvin was a plagiarist. He stole from Augustine, who was one of the first Roman Catholics in the 4th century. The 5 points of Calvinism are plagiarism off him. But I see that thing right there. If you don't agree with this, we'll put you in the fiery furnace. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we talk about Daniel and look at the fact that you can't burn what's already on fire. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for the time to meet in the house of God and to gather around the Word of God. We pray, Lord God, that you'll move and do a great work among us tonight, Lord. We pray, God, for our understanding tonight, that you'd help us understand the text. And we pray Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I pray, God, that you'd help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. As we look tonight about what's going on in Daniel chapter 3, I want you to turn back to Daniel chapter 1 for a second. Daniel chapter 1. There is no room for being a compromiser if you're going to be in the will of God. As you look down, it says about verse 3, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel," the guy the book's named after, "and these three other guys that we don't know much about, named Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, when we hear those three names, you don't know who they are. You've never heard of them guys before in your life. But if you've been in church at all, you know who they are, because in the next verse, it says, to whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. I like Daniel better, do y'all, so far? Okay. It's a whole lot easier to spell, ain't it? And to Hanani of Shadrach, and to Misael, Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. So now we see their names, and we see first off about these men, we see their study and some things about them. Their background was they were blessed and able to go in to minister before the king. So you're not just a slave, you get to go in the house and be a slave. That's what they just basically said. Said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. How about that? He said, we're not going to do that. They took a stand. If you're going to do something for the Lord, you can't be a compromiser. Listen, if God can take care of them and what we're fixing to read in chapter 3, he can take care of you right now. I've seen a lot of people bend over backwards trying to please everybody. The late J. Harold Smith said it this way: if you trim yourself to suit people, you will soon whittle yourself away. I see a lot of preachers have done that. They've literally whittled themselves away trying to make sure that Money Bags over here is happy, and old brother Foghorn over there, he's happy. Make sure we don't say anything about smoking cigarettes, because you know he'll get mad and go to another church and let him. And we can't do that. We can't say nothing about that. Sad day we live in. We're trying to be people pleasers, and we forgot. We'll live at the tops on this earth 70 to 100 years, and then we'll die and be in eternity with the one we're supposed to be doing what we're supposed to do for the whole time, and we'll find out that he was not well pleased with what we did. You and I need to get back to the business of trying to please God instead of trying to please all these people. Because there's a lot of things that people stay and a lot of things that they do and all this, but one that says and does that's going to count is going to be God Almighty. And one day when the thing ends up, you and I are going to be facing him, not them. Okay? You're going to find out that a lot of these people you cater to and stuff like that, trying to compromise and trying to do it for whatever. Listen, you're going to find out them people didn't even make it to heaven no way. You were catering to lost people and being a compromiser, bless your heart. See, their study, I looked up the name Hanani, I looked it up, and it means the Lord has been gracious. So under his Hebrew name, the Lord has been gracious. But they wanted to name him something else. They wanted to name him Shadrach, which means tender. What they're trying to do is say, if you like that, you just old tenderfoot. They ain't no tough Christians. They ain't no tough people of God. I'm going to tell you something. I met some of the toughest people I've ever met. I've met them in the church house. And I'm glad, thank God, some of them got saved before I met them. They still as tough. They just not as mean. I'm telling you, listen, the guy that went by the name of Misael, his name means one asked for of God. One asked for of God. Like, if God's got business, he's going to call this guy to come do it. They said, we don't like that name. We're going to name you Meshach. And that name means one that draws with force, like a man in his own power. Instead of God using the man's got his own strength. They said, we don't like all that God stuff. We're going to make you selfish and self-centered. And then Azariah, his name means he that hears the Lord. He that hears the Lord. They said, we don't like that, because that indicates God's alive and he's speaking to his people and he can get a hold to you and get a hold to me and he can talk to us. So we don't like that. So we're going to name him Abednego, which means a servant of light. So what was he? They said, we're going to make you a mason. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make you a mason. You're going to serve the light. Be in the light. You're going to be a shining one, you know. Anything we can do to program God out of this thing, we want to do it. If we could think of something even worse than that, we'd have came up with it for you. But we're going to give you these names. And, of course, you know them by the name Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you look down in verse number 7 of the text tonight, we'll see not only their study, but we see their stand. Verse 7, they just was told, if you do this, it says, therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Did you just catch there's three Greek words in that text right there in the middle of this Old Testament book? Daniel's written in Hebrew with part of it written, and I think it's Chaldean or whatever it is, but then three Greek words showed up in those instruments right there. And archaeologists for years have said this can't be true because those instruments wouldn't have been in that country. Do you know who the world power was at that time? Them. And if they had the, if they went to Greece and brought back instruments, that's no big surprise. We seem to go to China and bring back a bunch of junk right now. Ain't that something? We've learned words over here that I never thought we'd say. Shi shi ni. Every Chinese person said, "You're welcome." Shi shi ni. That's Chinese for thank you. That's not a bad word. Don't look at me like that. Okay? But listen, we've got all these goofy words in here and three. And listen, I know what people are trying to say with all this stuff. They're trying to be cute and trying to say, well, that means the Bible ain't true. Oh, but the Bible is true. See, the problem is what you say is a lie and what God says is true. One of you's got to be wrong, and guess who's wrong? Look at this verse 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Here it is. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. The Bible says a flattering mouth worketh ruin. There's your flattering mouth right there. Now listen to this. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Here comes, listen, here comes the snitches. Here comes the tattletales. We're going to tell on you. Hey, if you don't wear your mask, we're going to tell on you. Do you know I had the law called on me about that business? Bilo, 2020. This woman kept following me around with her cell phone. So I stopped and went. Next thing I know, here come the city police in. She looked at me and I looked at her. She said, "You're the only one here without a mask." I said, "I know, right? And I ain't putting on one." Sorry. I got fed up with it. Amen. And besides, if you got on one, you're protected according to them. Yep. But if I got to wear one, you got to wear one. I think we got the wrong virus here. I think there's something going on more than what we thought. Because it was just like 20 years ago that Congress said that if you cover your face up, that's taking away your identity, and that's un-American. Then all of a sudden we get all these people in power, and all of a sudden they're saying, why? Well, it's all about power. It ain't got nothing to do with no virus. All about power. You want to stop a virus? Get a hazmat suit and an oxygen tank and wear one of them full face things that seals your face. And then you can say, we are doing our part. Until then, shut your face and take that stupid face diaper off. You look silly driving around the car by yourself with the windows rolled up. Yeah. Unbelievable. But when you hear the music, you better drop down, put that face diaper on, and start doing right, or these little tattletales right here come get you. So I switched grocery stores when that happened. I went up to Ingles, and the manager followed me around. And I turned around after him. I said, "Can I help you find something?" I said, "You look like you're looking for something." "Oh, no, just happened to be standing in this aisle." I said, "Yeah, for the last 10 aisles. How about that?" He said, "You don't have one." I said, "What? I don't." Oops. Stupid stuff. Amen. If we in the hospital and you got AIDS, you won't have to get me to wear one of them things. I'll probably put on a hazmat suit for you. But prior to that, nah, sorry. I got bad breath. You don't have to put a thing on my face to let me know it. I already know it. Now listen. Their stand they took, though, if you look in verse 8 down to verse 12 there, what'd they do? They said, "We're not doing it." You can play all that you want to. We're not going to do it. They took a stand. Listen, your Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, stand, having done all to stand, therefore stand. Take a stand. Take a stand for what's right. Listen, when they go to selling alcohol on Sunday, take a stand and don't buy one Monday through Saturday or Sunday. When they say, well, everybody's doing it, we might as well vote it in, don't vote it in. Amen. Right now, marijuana will cure cancer if you ask that crowd, but it won't. Well, it'll help do this, help do this. Well, then write it in prescription, give it to them people. Otherwise, we don't need it. Right. Smoking pot's still a sin, whether it's legal or not, just like drinking liquor is. When's the last time you heard a good red hot message on smoking pot and drinking liquor? Oh, you hadn't. Listen, these churches right here closed down if they had to run that crowd off. Look at this. They took a stand. Then verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods? Look at that little G-O-D-S. My gods. Plural. Nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down. Just listen to the words. It's such a blessing. Just listen to the words. It's about grandma spitting back her out and being going to church on Sunday. And all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God? Capital G-O-D, that shall deliver you out of my hands. He's talking off of a big for guys fixing to be chewing on grass in just a little bit, ain't he? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not careful to answer thee. If it be so, our God, big G, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. He said, our God is able to put us away from you and take us out of your little hands and show you who God is. But here's what I like. They took a stand on the fact that it might cost them their lives, and they were okay with that. Yep. It says, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. If not. I like the fact of Christians that will stand up for what's right and take a stand, even if it costs them everything. Brother Red, Brother Jason, Brother Fane, you guys have watched in these mission conferences. You wound up at being one, and it was a bad church. And this happens every once in a while. And there she comes. The woman preacher got up and said, I feel like God's called me to such and such and such and such. And they took her on just like they took everybody else on. Yep. And they wasn't none of them there to say a word about it. So just give my little $15 a month. I'll keep my mouth shut. I'll compromise for $15. I got up and walked out of a conference like that in Tennessee, and the preacher called me on the phone. He said, where are you? He said, did you leave? I said, yep. He said, why? I said, because of that woman missionary. God ain't called her to go preach the gospel to the heathen. Right. He said, I'll have you know that's my daughter. I said, I don't care if it's your wife. Right. You take a stand for that stuff. By the way, I ain't been called to come back and preach none either. Now get this. If it's right, it's right. If it's not, it's not. If it's right, I face God with it. If it's wrong, guess who I face with it? God. You can't do that stuff and be a compromiser like that. They said, whether God gets us out of it, he said, God's able to get us out, but if not, it's okay. We still ain't going to do it. I'm glad to see people take a stand, even if it'll cost them their very life. They'll say, look, it's right in the eyes of God no matter what. They passed a bill up in Minnesota this week by one vote to allow abortion all the way up to the day before it's born. Guess what? God's going to hold you, every one of y'all, accountable for that stuff.
That's right.
Every one of you. And they need to quit fooling around with this stuff. These boys that are swimming on the girls' swim team, daddy needs to go down there and whoop his tail, okay? Right. and say, boy, you ain't got good sense. Let me make you a man right quickly with this belt and get him back in the right locker room. And by the way, if I was running for president, which I wouldn't waste my time, but if I was and they voted me in, they only thought Donald Trump was bad. Because that'd be the first thing to go right there. Would that be a mental illness instead of being accepted in locker rooms and handed medals for breaking records? By the way, Tom Brady retired, so there's your first female quarterback to go out to. How about that? But sorry, I had to say it. I've waited all day. I'm just glad the last team that beat him was, you got it, my team. Anyway, I don't care if they lost the next game. They beat him. That's all that counts. They retired the man. That's all that counts, right? Now, all joking aside, though, when I see these people doing all this stupid stuff like that, I'm thinking somebody needs to take a stand. They need to take a stand and say this is wrong, no matter what it costs them. No matter if it costs you elected office, no matter if it costs you friends and social standing and all this other stuff, yeah, even your job, take a stand. God will honor your stand. Now, notice this. We see their stand. And we see somebody else show up in this chapter. Look at verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1.7 times more than it was wont to be heated. So they said, we're going to crank this thing up on you a little bit. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Whether you kill us or not, we're going to keep doing it. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the guys that were putting them in there literally got consumed by the fire they were throwing them into. And it says that in verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Now here's the part right here that'll really get you right here. He's looking down in there and he knows there's three guys in there. And he knows the guys that he had throw them in there dead and burnt up. But he went to a good school. He can count. There's four guys in there. Don't miss this next part. This is their Savior. This is what he does. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. What we see here is that a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ shows up here in our text, the Son of God. This ain't too impossible for him. You know why? The fire don't bother him. He said his eyes were as a flame of fire. I mean, he's used to this. He goes where it's hot. People are so scared to death, they're saying, we can't say fire with hell, because if we do, it'll scare people. Well, guess what? It don't scare him. And by the way, if you think you're going to die and go to hell and that'll get you away from God and you'd rather suffer for all eternity, can I tell you who's there putting the flames on you? It's not the devil. It's him. That's the wrath of God incurred on people at that point. And I see the fact that it says, the Son of God. All you false Bibles say, a son of the gods, little g, and they'll say this in the commentaries. Well, there's no way Nebuchadnezzar could have known. That was a foreign god to him. There's two things you miss. Chapter 4, he knows it's the right God. And back up here in, where was that? We read that in the verse there, where he said the fact about your G-O-D, your God, with the capital G up here. He says it up here in chapter 3. Verse 15, towards the end of the verse, it says, who is that God, capital G, that shall deliver you out of my hands? He already knows. He knows who that God is. Yeah. And when he sees down here, he says, the Son of God. Listen, this man is just like you and me. He was an idolater, listened to music that glorified the flesh, obviously. He was multicultured with the whole thing and dared anybody to tell him what to do. There's some of you like that right now, boy. Ain't nobody going to tell you what to do. Ain't tell me what to do. I'll show you. Show me. I don't care. All I know is this, is the fire you put us in, guess what? There's somebody already walking around there that we're well acquainted with, and you fixing to meet him. If I were to ask you tonight, are you on fire for God? You know what the answer to that is? Either you are or you fitting to be. Because, see, either you'll get on fire for God on this side of the grave when you get saved, or you'll be on fire for God on the other side when you miss eternity in heaven and have to go to a place called hell that's prepared for the devil and his angels, where you've rejected the Son of God. When they reject the Son of God, I know whose team they play for. They have the devil and his angels right there. And I noticed something here. This man knows who the right God is, knows who the right Savior is. He knows it's their Savior, and he wants it to be his Savior now. Listen to me. There was a time when I didn't know who he was. But April 7th, 1994, hey, listen, I got introduced. The Holy Ghost drew me to him. I got introduced to him, and now I know who he is. So when I come across a text like this, I know who we're looking at. Right. You say, now, wait a minute. He was just born about a couple months ago in December, wasn't he? Friend, listen. He was around to create the world. He's God in the flesh. Right. He just showed up in a human body about 2,000 years ago around the month of December, our December. And here's a crazy thing. He was born sinless, unlike you and I. Lived a sinless life, died an atoning death, had a glorious resurrection, and he's coming back with fire in his eyes in the not-too-distant future. Listen, tonight while we're here, either you are on fire or you're going to be on fire. The choice is yours. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father.